Maybe if their parents would just do, if they would just be parents, you know? And but I'm afraid that's not what's happening out there. So that ought to break our hearts. All right, we are still in the book of Ephesians, but we did get past verse 16 last week of Ephesians chapter 4, so we're going to start in verse 17 tonight. And tonight's lessons, the last few weeks we've talked about walking in unity. And unity is vital, folks. We've got to, and that's a lot of what's going on out there in the world today too, is the fact that Christians are so split. And, you know, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Even though all of our founding fathers were not Christians, they still stood on the Word of God, and they took the Word of God and they used it as the foundation of the beginning of the United States of America. But that's not what they want to teach our kids anymore. But even though what they're teaching them is nothing but a bunch of lies, because they're trying to indoctrinate them that you can be whatever you want to be, but you know, you are what God created you, it's up to you to become what God wants you to be, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ in your life. So we talked about walking in unity, and tonight we want to talk about walking in truth and holiness. And I think that's where it's got to begin, folks, walking in truth and holiness. And I want to read verses 17 through verse 32 tonight out of Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll... Lord willing, we'll get through all of this tonight. If we don't, we'll pick it up the next couple of weeks if we have to. But anyway, when you find your place, if you'd please stand. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his brother, with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious word that you've given us. Father, help us to love it, to adore it, to apply it to our life, Father, not just to read it and walk away from it, Father, but may it have lasting results in our life. And may it change us, Father, to be more like the one that we love, Jesus. And may it help us, Lord, to lead others to him in a way, Father, that they would accept Jesus Christ and we would begin to see souls saved, Lord, throughout our land and throughout America and throughout our world in which you've given us to live in. Father, you've created it and we've destroyed it. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Father, for failing you in such a mighty way. But Father, Jesus himself warned us that as the latter days would come, these are the things that we would see. For as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Father, those days are here once again. So we know that the return of Jesus is imminent and it's close. But Father, until that day come, help us to open our eyes and see Christ, and help the world to open their eyes and see Christ in us. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the previous passage that we just went through, we saw where Paul began to describe our duty and our walk being worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. When God calls us to do something, folks, we have a responsibility to hold ourselves accountable in certain areas and to walk holy and to walk in truth and holiness in a way that we're worthy of the vocation that He's placed us in to fulfill. And God, if God saved you, folks, He also called you in one area or another. You didn't get saved to warm a pew. You got saved to serve the Lord. And through the local church, God wants to use you in a mighty way. But in Ephesians, we can go back to Ephesians 4:11, where He said, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And those are just a few of the gifts that God has passed out in the church. And some of those gifts are no longer there. But then after Paul gives those gifts there, and he talks about walking in unity and walking worthy of the vocation that God called you to fulfill, then he goes on, and he said, after he gave those certain things there in 4:11, then he goes on and says, he calls us to walk in unity by admonishing us to display the attitudes that are critical in maintaining unity. There's certain attitudes that we have to live up to. We went through those this past few weeks. Understanding the basis as well of the unity that we have in Christ, and being able to utilize the gifts that Christ has given us when we got saved, and being able to serve Him and to keep the body of Christ together and growing because of the work that He's given us to do. And if we're not doing our jobs, folks, then the church isn't going to grow. It's going to stop. It's going to cease to be. And the Bible talks about in the latter days there's going to be a falling away. And it's already happened. We've seen it happen for years. But I tell you this right now, it happened on 9/11, back when we were attacked from the inside, and they killed over 3,000 people there in New York City when they wiped out the towers there. And our school systems don't want to teach true history. So that's probably being wiped out of the history books. They're not going to teach them about that, because they don't want them to know. Because what's happened here is years ago, there was somebody who stood up and he wrote a paper that talked about what's going to hit America. And he gave it very clear that the biggest enemy in America or any nation is not, it's not nuclear warfare, folks. It's the attack on the mind. It's the attack on the mind. And that's what the devil's trying to do. And he's using our educational system to do that. But as Christians, we've got a responsibility to walk together in unity, and the world needs to see that. They need to see that we as Christians are standing together, and we're going to do what we have to do. But in the last half of chapter 4 in Ephesians, verses 17 through 32, Paul continues to describe the short walk that is worthy of our calling, especially as a holy temple in the Lord God Almighty. We are the temple of God. When you get saved, folks, you don't belong to yourself. You didn't in the first place, because God is the one who gave you physical life. He's also the one that gives you spiritual life. And you've got a responsibility to feed yourself, like we talked about this morning, by feasting on the Word of God. And if you back off from the Word of God, folks, you're opening yourself for an attack by the evil one, by the serpent, that old devil. And he wants to destroy you in everything that he can, in any way that he can. But whereas the first half emphasized that we just read there, the first half of Ephesians chapter 4 talks about walking together in unity. Now in the second half, he emphasizes walking in truth and holiness. And I want to go through that tonight. If we can get through the whole thing, praise God. If we're not, we'll finish it up next week. But there's an admonition here in verses 17 through 24. And I want to talk about that we are no longer to walk like the rest of the Gentiles. When we get saved, folks, people need to see a difference in our life. It needs to be a difference in the way that we talk, that where we go, the things that we say, the things that we listen to, the things that we watch on the television. I wouldn't care if we just threw the things out the door, because those things can be a huge distraction. And the internet, you know, the internet could be a wonderful thing. It's a great way to get the ministry out there, to get the Word of God out there. But it's also used by the devil, folks. And it's very clear that I think Brother Dale went through it there one Wednesday night. We was talking about sweet water and bitter water coming from the same fountain. Folks, it can't happen that way. I mean, it's pretty bad when Christians go onto the internet and they're watching this preacher that they seem to like. And then they go over to something else. Next thing you know, whoa, there's something you shouldn't be looking at. Folks, it'll destroy the mind if you don't control it. You got to control it. You got to say no to it. And you got to be able to say no to sin and be able to walk in truth and to walk in honesty and to walk as He wants us to walk in holiness. But no longer should we be like the rest of the Gentiles when we get saved. They walk in vanity, in the vanity of their minds, it says. And how so? How do they do this? They walk in the vanity of their mind. It starts with the blindness or the hardening of the heart. People's heart. Folks, when you get out of the Word of God, your heart gets cold. When you get out of church, it's the hardest thing to do is to get back in church. If you stay out of church, it's hard to get back into church. Just try it. Try to stay out of church for about 6 months. It's hard to come back. And that's not what God wants you to do, folks. Once you get away from the Word of God, it's hard to pick it up again because the devil wants to control the mind. And if we allow him to do that and we stop walking in truth and holiness, then shame on us because we're not falling in love with Jesus the way that we should. And because of this, the hardening of the heart, it leads to the ignorance. It starts with blindness of the heart, and that leads to the ignorance that is in them that's found in verse 18. Back up in verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened. They don't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because they're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance and the unlearnedness that they have. See, when you don't go to church, folks, and you don't go to Sunday school, and you don't go to Sunday morning or Sunday night, then you're not learning of the Word of God. You know, it's like the Ethiopian that was traveling on the road there, and Philip showed up to him, and Philip said, what are you reading there? And the guy said, I'm reading the book of Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading there? And the Ethiopian said, how can I except someone explain it to me? And so what did Philip do? He began to preach to him out of the book of Isaiah. And the man got saved. And he said, what is it that's holding me from being saved? And Philip just looked at him, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart? Yes, I do. Well, there's some water, the guy said, baptize me. I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I want to be like Christ. And folks, if that's not our prayer, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. We ought to be able to walk in the footsteps of Christ, to walk in truth and holiness as Jesus did. Nobody walked more. There's nobody that's more truthful and more holy than our Savior Jesus Christ. And when we are not walking in His footsteps, then we are failing Him in everything that we do. We've got to be able to do that. And that, you know, if you're blinded and your heart becomes hard towards the Word of God, the only thing it creates in you is more ignorance. More ignorance, folks. Because an ignorant person just simply means a person that's unlearned. And don't be that way. Learn from the Word of God. Every time there's an opportunity to learn from the Word of God, learn something from it. When you pick it up to read it, don't just pick it up to read it. Pick it up and say, God, show me what you want me to have from your word today or from your word at this very minute. What are you trying to tell me? Because of such ignorance, they're being alienated from the life of God. The last thing I want to do is to be alienated from God. I mean, folks, when we get to that point where we alienate ourselves from God because of the ignorance and the blindness that we allow ourselves to walk in because we're not in the Word of God, because we're not going to church, we're breaking away from the fellowship that God wants us to have one with another. That's the whole idea behind coming together as a family, is to have fellowship with one another around the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, this isn't a social society here. It's not, God didn't build the church for socialism. For us to come together and just, there's a time for that, yes. And I'm okay with that. I think it's wonderful when Christians get together and have our Baptist meals and our over 50 or whatever, when we get together and we're able to eat together or go out to Camp Jerry and work and everybody sit down in the dining area and have fried chicken and mashed potatoes and biscuits and green beans and I don't know what all they had out there. They had a layout, folks. You should have been there. You missed it. But anyway, I don't want us to walk away from those things because that's fellowship. That's having fellowship with one another. Nothing better than to be around God's people. And then, you know, when they were getting ready to eat, Brother Dave steps out and said, let's pray first. And he starts thanking Jesus for the food and for the work that was being done. And see, that's how God blesses folks, because we're trying to walk in, when we are trying to do our best to walk in truth and in holiness. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to stay in the truth of God's Word. And the only truth you're going to find in this world today is right there, the Word of God. It's not every book that you pick up and read. There are some good books out there written by some good authors. But I'm telling you right now, there's no book greater than the Word of God. You want to know something? It's in the Word of God. So stick to it. Stick to it. Now, and as a result, they had their... I don't know if I'm where I'm supposed to be. Because of their ignorance, they are being alienated from God. And that results in having their understanding darkened. So they're blinded. Even Christians today, folks, are blinded, and they allow themselves to be blinded because they don't want to make a stand. Let's not hurt nobody. But you know what? Sometimes love hurts. Love hurts. There's such thing as tough love. And Jesus gives tough love, I'm telling you. If you're living in sin and you know that you are, and Jesus knows about that, and you're walking in unconfessed sin, there's going to be trouble in your life. Because the one whom he loves, he chastens. And God's chastening hand will be on us, folks, if we're not walking in truth and in holiness. We got to be careful with that. If you don't understand what truth and holiness is, we'll go through some of that here in just a little bit. Because we're going to talk about some of those things that we ought not to be doing, that we may be doing. And if we're doing those things, folks, get to the altar. Get to the altar and make it right with God. Nobody's going to look down on you when you walk up here and come to the altar. Folks, I'm standing up here on this altar every time I come up here to preach. And I'll be the first one, if I need to, is to get down on my knees and confess something to God that may not be right in my heart. Because I've got to set the example as the pastor of this church. And I don't have a problem doing that whatsoever. If I'm not walking in truth and holiness, and God points that out to me, I've got a responsibility to bow my knee before a holy God in the presence of God's family. And if you ain't got it in your heart to forgive when someone does something wrong, and they're willing to come and say, "Forgive me, I did something wrong," then shame on you. Then you're the one that's got the problem. Don't be afraid, folks, when you're not walking in truth and holiness and you know that. And God convicts your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he draws you. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he draws you. And we just want to be able to do these things that are pleasing to him. And notice where Jesus describes the same process over in Matthew chapter 13. Over in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus described the same thing. I didn't put that on here, but he describes sort of the same process in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And in them he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Folks, people can hear. And 9 times out of 10, people know the truth. They know right and wrong. They know right and wrong. But you know what? They don't care. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of Christians out there in this world who just do not care about walking in truth and in holiness. They say, "I do what I want to do. I do whatever I want to do." You know why? Because they don't love the Word of God. Amen. They don't love the Word of God. And they don't love their Savior. Amen. And they better back up and make sure that their heart is, that they've been truly saved by grace through faith and not of themselves. They can't, no matter how hard somebody works, folks, they're not going to get to heaven on their works. It's only by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, and his resurrection, which was immaculate. His resurrection. Folks, if it wasn't for the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and then his ascension up into heaven, we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. But I'm afraid that what we've done by not walking in truth and holiness is we have suppressed the Holy Spirit. We've pushed him down. We put God in a box and we try to tell God, "This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And this is all I want from you." That's what's wrong in America, folks, because Christians have put God in this little box and they got the key to that box and they're not letting him out. And they're not going to listen to what God says through his word. And shame on us for allowing that to happen. And then down in verse 19, their walk is past feeling, it talks about it, as indicated by the fact that they should have given themselves over to, they gave themselves over to lasciviousness, the unbridled lust or excess, folks. And that's, it's a disgusting world when it gets to the point where people are living in that unbridled lust. And we live in a world today, we live in, they call it the sexual revolution once again, that this nation is going through. Men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. You want to find filth and trash, open up your internet and just type in one word. One word. And you'll see whatever your filthy heart desires to see. And if you do that, shame on you. Shame on you. Walk away from it. Don't let the internet control your thoughts or your minds, because that's what the devil wants to do, folks. He wants to destroy the mind. He wants to turn the church against God's people within the church, and he wants to see the church walking outside of truth and outside of holiness. He doesn't want God's people to be holy or true. He wants us to live a life of sin. He wants us to live a life that is filled with lust and ungodly desires. But and having themselves over that lasciviousness, unbridled lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Folks, we live in a greedy world. We live in a world where it's all about what I can get out of the world. And it's full of greed. It's everywhere. I see it in the businesses out there. I see it all the time. It's a greedy world. What else can I get out of that person? I'll cheat them if I can to get what I can out of them. We live in a world that's filled with greed, and shame on us for allowing that to happen. Another admonition as we continue, instead of walking in rightness and the truth and holiness, this is how you learn, they learn Christ, or you learn Christ. Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. See what I talk about this here stuff? Scary, isn't it? I'll stop right there. But anyway, they're walking in past feelings, as indicated in the fact that they have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They've desensitized themselves. They have no sensitivity whatsoever, and they seek after ever increasing forms of moral depravity. A little girl walking around on her hands and knees like a dog. Talk about moral depravity, and it's happening out there, and it ought to scare us to death. It ought to wake us up and say, you know what? Something's got to be done here. You know, we got it. And I'm not going to preach politics by no means, but we got a new election coming up this year. Folks, you better know the morals of the person you're voting for. When you vote, don't vote your own individual beliefs. Vote the Bible. If they're doing things that are contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, then you mark them as a no. Plain and simple. We got to get the right leaders in the right place. And I hate to say this, and don't take this wrong, ladies, but we need some men out there in politics, not just women. Everywhere I go, I see nothing but women, signs with women's faces on them. And I'm not against women by no means, but I don't think God meant it that way. When God said that the woman should not usurp authority over a man, I think that's what he meant. And I don't say that in a derogatory way, ladies, but we need some men out there that's got some backbone that'll put their sign out there and say, I'm standing for what's right. I want to make sure that we're walking in truth and in holiness. And as a result, I'm going to run for this office, because we need men in the political realm as well that are going to stand up and fight for what's right. I don't know about you all, but I don't want some woman going to war and fighting for me. You know, if I'm in a battle, I want a man beside of me, not a woman. If my wife goes to battle with somebody, I'm going to be beside her side. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to feel that way. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, it talks about all these forms of depravity. And I want to read that to you. It says, for the wrath of God, think about that, the wrath of God. I mean, the Creator, the one who gave everything, created everything with just a thought, a spoken word. And He created the whole, everything in the universe. God made it. That is power, folks. We can't even begin to think of the power that is behind our God. But it says, for the wrath of God, when His wrath is poured out, folks, look out. Look out when that wrath hits. It says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. People who are trying to take the truth of God's word and twist it. Brother Joe said it this morning, right, about a fellow by the name of Joel Osteen. A man's a demon, plain and simple. He might say something good every now and then, but he's leading people down the path to hell. And there's going to be more people in hell because of that man than a lot of other people out there. And if you read his book, shame on you. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Because that, down in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Romans chapter 1, it says, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People have no excuse whatsoever not to know God. Just look at the creation. Creation points everything to God Almighty. And if you can't see God through His creation, whoa, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. A tree don't grow on its own. Nothing lives within its own power. The only person that lives that is self-sustaining is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're self-sustaining. Nothing else in this world is self-sustaining. Grow a plant, but don't put no water in the soil. What's going to happen to that plant? It will die. Get a young Christian, take away their Bible, don't let them read it, keep them out of church. What's going to happen to them? They're going to wilt up like an old flower, and they're going to die spiritually. They're going to die spiritually. We can't let that happen. Don't let that happen in your own life either. He goes on, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorify Him not as God, neither were thankful. This is talking about people that already knew God. But even though they knew Him, they didn't give Him glory. The song we just sang, In my life, Lord, be glorified. In our church, be glorified. In our home, be glorified. In my heart, be glorified. If we can't see God glorified in our life, every aspect of our life, then folks, we failed somewhere. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We live in a world that's dark, folks. The hearts of mankind is so dark out there in this world that it's just black. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think they know more than they actually do know. A lot of people think they're very wise, but if they don't know Jesus, they have no wisdom whatsoever. The beginning of wisdom is what? Is to know God. That's the beginning of all wisdom. And to know him how? How do you know God? You know God through the Word of God. How does your faith grow in God? Comes by hearing the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, your faith is going to be suppressed. And when you don't grow in your faith, and when sin creeps up its ugly head, and you fall into that sin, and you don't repent of that sin, and that means turn completely away from that sin and walk away from it, then you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to wither up like an old flower, spiritually. And you're going to be of no earthly good whatsoever. There's an old saying that they used to say that, you know, you can be so spiritually minded you're of no earthly good. That's a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of garbage, plain and simple. You can't be too spiritually good or spiritually minded, folks. I mean, we're told to live as if we're already in the presence of God Almighty. That's how God tells us to live now, as if we're already in his presence. And that's the way we've got to live. But he goes on. He said, professing to be wise, themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what? People love their animals more than they love God. Did you ever think about that? They love their animals more than they love children. That's the world we live in, and it's a shame. Why do you think we abort so many babies? You go out there and kill a dog, though, and see what happens to you. Go out there and kick a cat and get caught kicking a cat. And I hate cats. But you go out there and... Sorry. But you go out there and kick a cat, folks. I'm telling you, you're going to go to prison. And when we lived in Buck Cannon, there was a guy that got caught. He hit a cat with a lead pipe. You know, he went to jail. But if he hit his wife with a lead pipe, they would say, oh, you know what, you owe an apology. Pay a little fine and you're free to go. But he went to jail for like 5 years, I think. Because he hit a cat with a lead pipe and somebody saw him do it. And what about the guy who decided he was driving, I think it was down in Louisiana. This guy was driving through a parking lot and there was a bunch of seagulls out in the parking lot. He drove his SUV through them seagulls and killed a couple of them. He went to jail. But it's okay to kill a baby. Tell me something's not right. Tell me something's not messed up in our world. And it's all because as Christians, we got to back up, look in the mirror, like Brother Dale said, and maybe smile a little bit, and just ask yourself, are you walking in truth? Are you walking in holiness? Are you living a life that's pleasing to God? Are you able to say no when sin rears up its ugly head? Or do you grab a hold of it like they did here in Romans chapter 1? He says, and they changed the glory of incorruptible God into an image. Folks, God is not an image. God is a living being. He's a Holy Spirit. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is not an image. And I'm telling you, I'll give you something right now. A lot of people wear the cross around their neck, and they think that makes them all, you know, tough and holy. But, you know, I see a lot of worldly people wearing that cross around their neck. But you see that cross up there? No, you can't see it right now. If I raise it up, you can see that cross up there. That cross is just a symbol. It's not an image. It's a symbol of what Jesus did for us. And you know what? When we roll that screen up back there, Jesus is no longer on that cross. Sorry, Pope. The Catholics, they keep Jesus on that cross. You know what? He came off that cross, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he ascended up into heaven because he wants us to walk in truth and in holiness, and that's exactly what he wants us to do. Let me go on here in Romans chapter 1. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You know what? If you do something long enough and you ignore the fact that it's the wrong thing to do, God will let you have that. He'll say, okay, I'll give it to you. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that can't tell the difference between right and wrong. And we live in a world where Christians don't even know right from wrong. And you know whose fault that is? It's the pastor's fault. It's the preacher's fault standing behind the pulpits trying to give the people what they want to hear. Tickle in their ears. I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you that right now. If you're wanting somebody to tickle your ears, you better get somebody else, because I'm not the man behind the pulpit that you're looking for. Because I'm not going to stand up here and teach you a bunch of lies and say, you know what, it's okay. You just got to love yourselves. You got to find God within your own heart. No, you got to go by what the Word of God says. Plain and simple. You back away from the Word of God, then you're wrong. Amen. And I'm going to preach that, and I'm going to tell you that. And when you sin, I'm going to tell you you're sinning. Amen. I may not point you out in public, unless it's a public sin that needs to be brought out, and then I'll do that. I'll bring you up here in front of the church and say, our brother here did something. He sinned against the Word of God, or sister, they want to make it right with God. And we'll make it right, and we'll break bread with you. But don't choose to do wrong. It's not a hard thing to just say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to walk in truth, and I'm going to walk in holiness, and I'm going to do the right thing based on what? Based on the Word of God. What does God's Word tell you? It says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. There we go back to taking care of the animals above the kids. Creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Folks, that's a disgusting thing. That's a disgusting thing. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Men with men, women with women. Men wanting to be women so they can be with men. I mean, the most disgusting, vile sin that there ever could be. And I'm telling you, this is an abomination in the eyes of God our Father, and He will not put up with it for too long. Thank God you are long-suffering, Father. Thank God our Father is long-suffering. And you know, it's in the Christian realm. When you got people out there like Andy Stanley who better be repenting and making his heart right with God Almighty, because he's standing up and he's saying, well, it's okay. It's okay if you if you're a man and you've got a husband. Bull! That's garbage. What a bunch of sin. That man is, there's another man right there who his dad, Charles Stanley, was a godly man. Believed the Word of God, stood on the Word of God. Brother Dale told me he heard a good message from him there today, I guess, this morning sometime. But you know what? Look at his son. Look at his son. What a disgrace. What a dishonor. He shouldn't even be allowed to pick up the Word of God. Matter of fact, what he reads isn't the Word of God anyway. It's some translation that who knows what he's reading. But it certainly ain't the Word of God. He even says that the Old Testament is not the Word of God. Well, I'm telling you, the Word of God from Genesis to the last amen in Revelation is God's Word. And if we don't stand on it, folks, they're going to do their best to burn it. And he don't realize, but he's burning the Word of God when he says the Old Testament is of no use to the Christian. We don't need that. Well, I tell you what, this morning I preached out of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Think about that for a minute. We are to live as Christians from the Word of God. Straight from it, from the Word of God. It says, and likewise also the men, we just read that, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't want to know God. It says clearly there in verse 28 of chapter 1 in Romans chapter 1, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know why? That's why they took God out of the schools, folks. That's why they took the Bible out of the schools. That's why they took out of one nation under God in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Well, when we pledge the flag at Abundant Life Baptist Church, we're going to say one nation under God. Amen. One nation under God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand on that. And he goes on, he says, to do those things which are not convenient, or do those things which are wrong. They chose to do wrong rather than to do what's right. Folks, it's okay to say no to wrongdoing. It's okay to say no to things that are not true. Don't be afraid to stand up against the evil in this world and say no. Say no to it. Turn off that TV once in a while and pick up your Bible. Get off the internet and turn off that computer and pick up your Bible. Or call a brother or sister and say, hey, let's have prayer together. Let's have prayer together. Folks, if you need somebody to pray for you, call me. I've talked to some of you on the phone, a few of you, and I prayed with some of them over the phone. I prayed with Brother Joe this morning. I'll pray with Brother Joe again. And we need to do that, folks. We need to pray together. It's okay to go up to a brother or sister who's hurting, or they're in physical pain, or they're going through spiritual a rough time spiritually, and put your arm on their shoulder and say, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. But be careful how you touch people. Men, I'm going to tell you that right now. These young girls are very susceptible to certain things. Watch how you touch them. Watch how you touch them. When you're working with kids especially, last thing we want to do is have a lawsuit on this church because somebody chose to put their hand on some girl's back and rub it. Be careful of that. We went to a church one time, my wife and I, and she was a piano player. And I wasn't the song leader, but they had another song leader. And she'd sit up front, and I'd sit way in the back of the church. And she came to me. She said, that guy keeps touching me. I said, who? She said, the song leader. So I watched. And he went up to my wife sitting at that. And they had the piano set up to where her back was at the audience, and she hates that. She don't like her back to the audience. She likes to be able to see the people. But he come up and start rubbing her shoulders. So I went to the pastor, and I said, you either fix it or I will. And if I have to fix it, he's going to look like the pavement out front. I don't want some other man touching my wife, plain and simple. Not in that manner. Shake her hand, hug her in a different kind of a way, but don't rub my wife's shoulders. I'll hurt somebody for that, plain and simple. And I'm not a touchy-feely kind of a guy anyway. I'm not a hugger, but some of you still like to hug me. I'll hug you. Okay. And I got to get used to that. I know as a pastor, you got to get used to certain things. But you know, it's got to be done in the right manner, folks. And when we're dealing with these young kids, you got to be careful. Yeah, your granddaughter this morning out there, God bless her. You got to love the kids. I'm standing out there shaking hands, and she comes over and grabs a hold of my leg and starts hugging my leg. I love Pastor Roy. And you know what? I love the kids too. I do. But not in the way a lot of other people do. Folks, we got to keep the perversion out of it, plain and simple. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He allowed them to have that mind that they cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperings. And look at this, he puts it right in there, backbiters. Backbiters. Folks, don't talk about me behind my back. If you got something you want to say to me, say it to my face. I'm man enough to listen to it. I've had people say things to me before when they thought I did something wrong. And if I did it, I'll tell you. And I'll apologize if I offended you. But I'm not going to apologize if God's word offends you. You got to deal with that yourself. But he goes on, it says, backbiters, haters of God. Boy, do they hate God. Brother, you said it a while ago. That one school, they voted to go to hell. Oh, my. They have no idea what they're getting into. People don't understand what hell is all about. But, buddy, they'll wake up there one day and they'll find out what it's about. The gentleman that I do work for every once in a while, that I told you about, he's Jewish. God bless him. I witnessed to him here one time when we were together. And I told him, I said, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't call him brother. I said, Jason, you're going to know something. I said, my hands are clean of you. I said, one day you're going to leave this world, and when you do, you're going to wake up in a place called hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ. And I said, you're going to remember these words, and it's going to go over and over in your mind throughout eternity that Roy told me about Jesus. He told me what Jesus did, and it's going to go over and over in his mind. But when I step through the pearly gates in heaven, my heart is cleared with that because I shared Jesus with him. So if you know somebody, folks, that needs to be saved, and you're not witnessing to them, and you're not talking to them, and you're not praying for them, then their blood may be required at your hands. That's in the book of Ezekiel, by the way, where God talks about that. They said, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Worthy of death. That comes from God Almighty. Think about that. They're worthy of death. People who live that lifestyle. And look at our world. Take that passage of Scripture sometime in Romans and read that in Romans chapter 1 and then watch the news. Everything I just read, you're going to see it on the news. It's on the news. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What a shame. You know what I just read you? I read you all about America. I just read everything that's happening in America today. And we've got to fix that. And the only way we're going to fix that is if we as Christians walk together in truth and in holiness. That's what God's calling us to do. Walk in truth and holiness, folks. That's what we've got to do. Search your hearts tonight. Look inside your own heart and find out where you stand in all of this. Are you walking in truth and in holiness? Are you able to tell somebody out of love the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you able to share Jesus with somebody? If you can't do it by word of mouth, like I've told you before, carry gospel tracts in your pocket. There's still some out there and those tract holders, and I'm not happy with that. Get them out of there. They ain't doing no good sitting in that tract rack. The only way they're going to do any good is get them out there in the public. Take them with you. Take them with you. Pass them out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for the way that you speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your word would burn within our hearts. Father, that we would be a church who weeps for the lost. Give us tears, Father. Tears for souls. May it break our hearts, Father, to know that we may be in a relationship with somebody, whether it be friends or whatever, that does not know Jesus Christ. Father, may not a moment go by that we don't lift them up in prayer, asking that the Holy Spirit move in their life, that their eyes would be opened and not darkened. They would be drawn to Jesus, and they'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us to be a church, Father, who reaches souls for Christ. Father, forgive us for those times that let it pass by. Help us not to let Jesus pass by. But may we grab onto the hem of his garment and hold fast to that hem, Father, that others would see Jesus in our lives and they would desire to have what you've given us. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.